let me bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. I know we say that so often, but we really do say it sincerely. It's always good to get together, not only to enjoy friendship and fellowship, but to involve ourselves as a congregation of God's people in a time of worship and praise. There's an outline again in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along with the lesson as I go through it. The title of the lesson comes from the text that was read to us this morning, A Faith That Will Save. In verse 39, the closing section of the text, Hebrew writer said, we're not of those who draw back to perdition. We're not of those. Said, but we are those who believe to the saving of the soul. Make a conclusion that there must be a belief that will not lead to the saving of the soul. The writer is saying, oh, we want to have a faith that is soul saving. By definition, when you think of faith, I defined it as a mindset that changes from unbelief to belief is based on the evidence that's presented. There's something that convinces us or gives us a conviction that there is a God. The evidence, we look at the evidence that causes us to believe God really did love the world, that he sent a son. So there's a mindset that changes from unbelief to belief, but it's based upon the evidence that's presented. The Bible says in Romans 10 verse 14, Paul asked the question, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? I can't call on somebody you don't believe in. And Paul continued, and how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And then in verse 17 he says, so then, faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. There's something in God's word that's presented as evidence that should move us from a conviction of unbelief to belief. The word of God gives us that evidence. Jesus, or the Bible itself said in John 20, beginning of verse 30, says, truly did Jesus many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But then the phrase, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and believing ye might have life through his name. So the written word of God is one design is to produce faith that God is and that God sent his Son, and there's a requirement on our part to have that conviction. It's interesting, even in the Old Testament, I didn't put this one in your notes, but in Psalm 119, verse 130, it says, the entrance of thy words give light. It gives understanding. The power of God's word has the ability to move us from unbelief to belief. It gives light. It gives understanding. And then Jesus, before he ascended back to the Father, gave this commission. In Mark 16, verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, in other words, the word of God. This evidence, this conviction, preach that gospel message to every creature. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But if you don't believe, you're condemned. So our belief in the biblical story and being baptized is the beginning of our life of saving faith. And now to our text. The writer that I put in your notes has listed at least six things that support a faith that saves, a soul-saving faith. Number one, in verse 32, says, you endured a great struggle with suffering, an element of suffering. If you endure, and I put these definitions in your notes, to endure means to abide. No matter what happens, I'm staying in faith. It means to bear up courageously, to last through whatever is happening in your life. I'm going to endure. I'm going to continue my existence of faith. I began my life of faith, and I'm going to continue in that faith. Endure. He says, you endured a great struggle. In other words, it wasn't easy. There might be involved some hardship. It means a determined effort to reach a goal. If you're going to struggle in your faith, it means that you're going to labor, toil, sweat, and grind. If you are going to have a struggle in your faith, it means you're going to give it a sustained effort to reach the goal. You ever had to give up anything for your faith? For your conviction? You have to have to set aside maybe a personal interest in something, but oh, this is my faith says, oh, this is time, as Chip said in his prayer, for assembly. I need to endure because of my faith. I don't need to always put myself first and my interest in my life. I want a faith that saves. That's the title of the lesson. That's in the text. A faith that saves. And then, you know, Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 14, I didn't put that one in your notes either. Philippians 3, verse 14, Paul said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I have to press. But Paul, you're God's selected. You're God's appointed. You're on God's side, but Paul said, well, I still have to press. Put some effort into it. Does that describe your faith? Putting some effort into your faith? With sufferings, our faith will cost us time, talent, treasure. We sing a song, must Jesus bear the cross alone? And the question continues, and all the world go free? And the song answers the question, no. There's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. So when we think about a faith that saves, it will involve, number one in your notes, as these Hebrew brethren had to do, they had to endure and struggle and suffer. Number two, for these brethren, verse 34, they had to know something. I want you to, the Hebrew writer says, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. You see, in verse 34, it says they joyfully accepted the plundering of their goods. Their faith cost them their possessions to stand on God's side with the persecution that was involved in their life. They literally suffered, right? The loss of things. But it was to have a better and enduring possession. And Paul, and the Hebrew writer says, I want you to know that. Otherwise, our struggle would be overbearing. We'd have a tendency to give up too soon because of the hardship. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, I just want to read the verse. Paul said, therefore, we do not lose heart. Why would you even suggest that that is a possibility of losing heart? All because faith demands struggle and endurance and hardship. Oh, there is a possibility of losing heart when we involve our faith the way it should be. So he says, don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction... difficult to imagine any affliction being light. Even if it's just a splinter. That splinter affects my whole body. But it's for the moment. And he says it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal seen things that are seen, we look at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary. The things that are not seen are eternal. And then he begins the next verse in chapter 5, verse 1. We know. What do you know, Paul? What do you know? With this piece of knowledge, it helps to sustain our faith. He says, knowing that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, meaning this body, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Well, that's verse 34 of our text. We need to know that we have a better and enduring possession. Something else. Number three, an item that helps sustain our faith, and it involves saving faith. Verse 35 says, therefore, with this knowledge, don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Don't cast it away. By definition, in your notes, don't throw away your faith. Don't trash it. Don't discard your faith as being useless. In other words, take a piece of paper, you want it, blot it up, just throw it away. Don't do that to your faith. There's no earthly reward worthy of trashing your faith. And that's what the Hebrew writer is saying. Know this. Your faith, he says, has great, your confidence, your faith has great reward. Slip by. Your confidence means to be fully persuaded based on the evidence. The word of God that's being presented. The word of God that was preached to them. The people that gave testimony that Jesus was God's Son. We put our confidence in that, in the written word. It has great reward. So don't trash your faith. Throw it away. Number four. Well, with all of the first three things, in verse 36, it says you have need of patience. Well, I'll say, patience. So that after you have done the will of God, a little qualification there. So after you have done the will of God, you receive the promise. That's right. That, remember that first point, number one, that endurance, that struggle? Yeah, that's right. That suffering. But we hang in there, we stay there, we exercise patience, we stay on God's side. So we abide in the midst of trials, we suffer long and we wait. You know, brethren, one of the hardest things for the fleshly mind to realize is that the victory of faith is not achieved in one brilliant campaign, but by a lifetime of faith. A lifetime. We're talking about giving a lesson this morning on a faith that saves. So it's not so much the glory of a promising start, but it's the glory of a faithful finish. As great and as wonderful as the start is, we want to see you finish. After, in verse 36, it's after you have done the will of God. Look, so he's saying, look at the end of the journey. And that's what's going to require the endurance, the knowledge, the confidence, and the patience. And then when all is said and done, at the end of our journey, then we receive the promise, and certainly heaven will be worth it all. Number five, you know, verse 38. For the just shall live by faith. That was in the song that Dennis led for us in our worship this morning. All those songs of faith. First song, living by faith. Right. And this thought is followed in chapter 11, and the Hebrew writer begins to list all those faithful. After he gives this list of things that it requires to be faithful and have a saving faith, he says, let me tell you about all of these people that you know about in your past. And so he begins to list in chapter 11 Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Rahab and Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. And then he gives a summary phrase in verse 35 of chapter 11. He just says, others who were tortured, not accepting deliverance. In other words, the people that were torturing them said, if you abandon your faith, I'll deliver you from the torture. They said, oh no, give me the torture. I'm not giving up my faith. And they didn't accept deliverance that so that they might obtain a better resurrection. The just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7. I didn't put that in your notes. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. Number six, the last one I have. We are not of those who draw back to perdition. Those who draw back. Just put your notes. Don't do that. Don't do that. As if, don't throw away your faith. Don't just wad it up and trash it as if it's useless. Don't need that faith anymore. Let's just put it in the can. Take it out in the street. No. Peter said in 2 Peter 2, verse 22, he's describing those who did go back. They abandoned their faith. So Peter said, this happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. That's the description of one who abandons their faith, or throws it away, or casts it away, or draws back. It's pictured as living in vomit and mire. And the text says in verse 38, and I didn't put this in your notes, but the actual verse was read to us a moment ago. In verse 38, if anyone draws back, God says, my soul has no pleasure in them. See, we want a faith that saves. A faith that saves. And perdition, by definition, is to perish. It means destruction. Or in our text, it would mean to be unsaved. We draw back. So put in your notes, we want a finishing faith. A finishing faith. You know, one that, when we believe, it's to the saving of our soul. And I've just given you at least six characteristics of what a saving faith looks like from the text. The Hebrew writer is mentioning. So like Paul, we need to say in 2 Timothy 4 verse 6, I'm ready to be offered. Meaning going to die. The time of my departure is at hand. So he says, I've fought a good fight. His faith lasted. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. So with those things in place, with confidence, he declares, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And then he adds, but not to me only, but to all those who continue or have faith that saves and love is appearing. Right? So Paul says, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Finished the course. So the promise is for me, but for you and when we keep the faith. 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. Let me put that one in your notes. Just requiring stewards that one be found faithful. Faith. Faith to save. Trust required. Be faithful. Revelation 2, verse 10. The last phrase is, be faithful till death, and I'll give you a crown of life. All the reward, the promise of the text that we just had read to us reveals. The promise, the reward. But it requires a faith that saves. Involves all of these things I've listed for you in the text. That's the lesson this morning. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. This takes us back to the introduction of the lesson. You've heard the good news. You've examined the evidence that God so loved the world. Then number two, you believe it. I've changed my mindset. Yeah, I believe there is a God. Then number three, I'm willing to turn my life around and repent, as Jesus said. And you're willing to confess your faith that Jesus is God's Son before witnesses that are gathered here. Then you'd be baptized for remission of sins and rise to walk in newness of life. As Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. I want you